Hi, this is Stay, and I am your host, Takesha August. On this podcast, you'll hear conversations and content dedicated to trust, love, and honoring our intuition, from birth to motherhood, from work to womanhood. Collectively, we will be cultivating peace, joy, confidence, and community, the foundational elements of thriving in a well-lived life, and sharing some laughter along the way. Here's to new patterns, healed hearts, and becoming the masters of our own self-preservation. You are invited to stay with your heart, with your body, and with me. Welcome. Hi there, and welcome to Stay. It's Takesha here with another solo episode. I love these opportunities for us to be intimate in conversation with one another. And our conversation today is dedicated to those of you and us in mothering bodies. So you probably know by now, if you've been listening to the podcast for any period of time, in my coaching practice, in my maternal wellness practice, I work primarily with women who happen to be mothers, most of which are in the stage of pregnancy or early motherhood. And of course, I have women of various stages of their reproductive life. But the majority of my clients are mothers. And one aspect of our work together is exploring communication and boundaries and how the existing pattern of their relationships and being with both themselves and their friends, their family, their romantic partners might present itself in mothering. So if they are pregnant, we might have those discussions as we prepare for birth. And if they are in the early stages of motherhood, we might have these conversations in helping them to navigate, all the stuff that comes up when you become a mother for the first time, fifth time, 20th time. And because as human beings, we have an intrinsic need to belong, to feel seen, and to feel heard, our attachment style, our relationship dynamics really play an enormous part in how we navigate our relationships and how we feel about who we are in those relationships, especially who we are as mothers. So today we're going to talk about how to navigate your attachment style in early motherhood. And of course, again, if you are in various stages of motherhood, this could probably apply to you as well. As usual, you take what works for you and you leave the rest. So what exactly is an attachment style? Well, it's the idea that we all have an innate need for connection, and the way we were parented in childhood shapes the way we form relationships throughout our lives. In terms of parenting, attachment theory suggests that the way we bond with our children in infancy sets the stage for their future relationships and emotional well-being. Now, this is not where you insert the mom guilt and feel like, gosh, I wasn't there, or I had to rush back to work, or no. This is just, a framework for what the idea and the theory behind this teaching is. There is always time and space and room to expand your capacity to be present, to do the best with what you have, and where you are in your life. And I truly believe that our children choose us and choose the life that we have to provide them when they enter into this earthly realm. So I'll just say that. As a new mother, it's important to identify your attachment style by reflecting on your own childhood experiences and how you feel about closeness and intimacy in your current relationships. There are four main attachment styles. There's secure attachment, anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, and disorganized attachment. If you had a warm and responsive caregiver in childhood and feel comfortable with intimacy in your current relationships, you likely have a secure attachment style. If you experienced inconsistent or neglectful parenting and struggle with intimacy in your current relationships, you may have an anxious or avoidant attachment style. Your attachment style can impact your ability to respond to your child's needs in a consistent and nurturing way. For example, if you have an anxious attachment style, you may be overly attuned to your child's needs, i.e. being a helicopter parent, and become anxious when your child cries, which can lead to overprotectiveness or smothering. On the other hand, if you have an avoidant attachment style, you may have difficulty tuning into your child's needs at all and may be emotionally unavailable or dismissive. So how can you navigate your attachment style in these early years? Well, the first step, like many steps, is to become aware of your attachment style, to become aware of yourself, to observe yourself as if from the outside, to reflect upon your own experiences, your own patterns, and how it might impact your relationship with your child. From there, it's important to work on developing a secure attachment style through therapy or other self-help methods. One of the methods that I use with my clients is somatic experiencing, just kind of helping to digest and move and process those experiences. We do reflective journaling, therapeutic journaling. And we also do conversations around how we are feeling and how we are digesting those experiences. Now, of course, I'm not a licensed therapist. I was trained to be a therapist, but I am not licensed. And so it is beyond my scope to, you know, hold the seat as a therapist. But as a somatic practitioner, as a yoga teacher, as a birth keeper and a birth worker, it is within my scope and in my practice, and it is one of my greatest passions to help people navigate their relationship dynamics with themselves first, and using that as the impetus for how they navigate and present in the relationships outside of their own bodies. It's also important to be gentle with yourself and recognize that parenting is a journey. And there will be ups and downs along the way. Remember that you're doing the best you can, and seeking support when needed is a sign of strength, not weakness. So finding a mother group, a mother circle, having friends that feel safe to communicate with about your struggles or your experiences, and people that you feel receptive and open to their feedback and guidance. So for example, if you have a friend who you are observing, making some very interesting choices in their dating life, for instance, and you know the backstory of trauma or abuse or neglect, and then you see this friend kind of playing out that hurt by seeking after partners that are not the best reflection of who they are to you in the world. You might have a sit down with that friend and lovingly share with them how you feel in observing their process and their experience and the way they're moving throughout life. And not with an expectation that they must listen to you or change their behavior. But sometimes when we receive feedback from people that we really trust, that we really believe love us for who we are, then it at least allows us to plant that seed, to tuck it away, to process, to reflect. And then if you seek out other support, like I said, a therapist or someone or some space that can help you to regulate your emotions or practice mindfulness. All of that together helps to develop the strong support system that's necessary for helping all of us to cultivate and maintain healthy attachments. Now, our attachment styles aren't fixed. If you grew up with an anxious attachment style, and for most of your young adult life you had an anxious or avoidant attachment style, you are not branded with that. You can move through the healing process, which, remember from the last episode, I said is a lifelong journey. Healing is not a destination. And becoming aware of where you are, who you would like to be, and the kind of love that you would like to receive, the kind of relationships that you feel would most honor your existence here, I think that's really where it begins. And there's something about motherhood that amplifies the education that gets penetrated through our cells. These little humans that come as little gurus for our own expansion, our own enlightenment, are so profound in how they deliver their message. It's like a crash course in both remembering who you truly are and getting on the right path and in right alignment with whatever path and journey you are supposed to be on. We all have our own individual assignments. And sometimes our relationship dynamics can prove to be these barriers or walls between where we are and where we want to go. And not walls that you can't move, but sometimes they are walls that we choose to lean on and make excuses around why we can't expand, why we can't grow, why we can't see beyond where we are in life right now. And if you're willing to do the very challenging work, because it is not easy work to ask yourself the hard questions and to demand a different reality for yourself from one day to the next. It's not simple. It's so much easier to just stay in the messy patterns and just throw up your hands and say, well, this is just who I am. This is it. Take it or leave it. But how much more glorious and sensory could your relationships be if you for one moment believed that you can have a secure attachment? I used to think having a secure attachment was like for other people, like anyone else. I was raised by my grandparents, and while the environment that I was raised in was amazing, I was well loved, I was well cared for, I was well provided for, I got to move all over the world and have so many different experiences, but that did not cancel out the inquiry and wounds from wondering, what about my parents? Why didn't they choose me? Where are they? In my younger mind, in my younger heart. And of course, now in my adulthood, I can very clearly see why it was the optimal decision for me to be raised by my grandparents. They were mature, they were grounded, they were established, they had means, and they had the capacity to parent a small child. And my parents, who were teenagers, still trying to find their way, finish school, figure out, you know, the regular basic Maslow hierarchy of needs, issues, where to live, how to put a roof over their head, how to connect, how to belong, right? Who they even are in the grand scheme of things. They did not have the capacity to then be the kind of parent that I needed as a small child for my personality. But when you're growing up, you don't realize that, right? And so you start to see yourself reflected in not the greatest places. Or you seek for validation in corners of rooms and spaces and environments that may not be the healthiest or the safest. Looking for a pair of eyes that can look back at you and say, yes, I choose you. Yes, you're who I want. And so that attachment style ranged for me from anxious to avoidant. There was a great stretch of time where I genuinely did not believe that men had feelings or emotions. And so quite honestly, I was mean. I was a pretty mean one in my younger years dating, because I just didn't believe that they had the kind of emotional state, the kind of emotional intelligence that I believed myself and other women had. And so I acted accordingly. I was very dismissive. I was very, detached, avoided in some cases. I was so hot into one relationship and then cold the next day. I could easily place people in the box of, oh, now we're friends, even though we've been in a relationship for a number of years. I could so easily cut off the strands tied to my sexual body or my emotional body. And they just became any old body to me. And so people would ask me, how can you be friends with all your exes? Because I had the ability to shut it off. I didn't want them anymore. I was done. But what I later learned as I stepped into this work about 18 years ago, when I stepped into this work for the first time and started to look at how I was navigating my relationships, that yes, in fact, men had feelings and emotions, and sometimes very big ones, very big feelings, very deep wells of emotion. And for Black men, which is who I primarily dated, those wells were often covered and untapped. And so in many cases, I probably caused harm, for which I had to atone for and to sit in meditation and prayer, and in some cases apologize if I still had access to those individuals. But there's something really incredible about healing and moving through a healing process and then becoming pregnant in the midst of that healing and noticing, wow, I really want to show up differently. And then to discover, oh, I am going to bring into this earthly realm a boy who will then grow up to be a man. And how can I hold his heart and hold space for him as his assigned mother? How can I have the presence and the wherewithal to receive his words, his heart, and not be avoidant and not be dismissive and not be disorganized, hot one day, cold the next. And it is indeed a process. I'll say the other day, I had a rough morning of just like feeling really crabby. And my kid wasn't feeling that great. And, you know, he's only 9 years old. And so he's not like super thrilled about school, except for the friend part. And I knew he wasn't feeling super great, but yet it still annoyed me that he wasn't getting out of bed. He wasn't moving fast enough. I had so many things to do. I had so many things on my plate. And so I got really snappy and really short and really like, we got to go. We don't even have time for breakfast. You're like, you're just moving too slow. We got to get out of here. You know, I'm tired of you moving too slow. Like, get out. We've got to go. And I had never rushed him out of the house without feeding him. You know, of course, he could get breakfast at school, but I've always made sure that he ate breakfast at home. And if he wanted something else, he could eat it at school. Like, that was always my first line of nurturing in the morning, making sure you're well fed, making sure we get our cuddles and our playtime and our silliness and our connection. Right? So establishing the foundation of secure attachment for the day, because it's a moment by moment, day by day, month by month, year by year experience of a journey through healing and forging a stronger relationship together. And I rushed him off to school and we have a secret little handshake. He jumped out the car. He did not do his handshake. He did not say goodbye. He did not say, I love you. He did not turn back before he walked into the door of the school to blow me a kiss as he usually does. His shoulders were slumped. He looked rejected. His backpack looked heavier than it ever had. And I felt really, really bad. And so those meetings and those activities that I just had to get done, just, I couldn't even focus on them to the degree that I would have wanted to because I felt so bad. So, you know, the awareness, I could have done that differently. I could have been more present, more patient, more realistic about the scenario. He wasn't feeling great. Like, and when you don't feel great, you don't move very quickly, right? And so about a quarter of the way through the day, I was like, you know, let me go get my kid, because I know in having held space for his own development for this long in his life, for his life so far, I know that he's also very sensitive. And so me as his mother, the most important person in his life at this stage of his childhood, essentially rejecting attachment to him in the morning by not nourishing him, not cuddling him, not having the patience and capacity to listen to or digest our dreams together, because we talk a lot about our dreams. I knew that he probably wouldn't eat lunch either. He would be digesting the energy of a fractured attachment for that morning. And so I went to school, I pulled him out of school early, and I apologized for my behavior. Not with the expectation that he needed to accept my apology, but I wanted him to know that I knew that was not the best way to move through my morning. I admitted I was not having a good morning. I had had terrible dreams. Oh, they were awful. I was doing a lot of work in the astral realms. I was literally fighting for my life and then woke up and had to get through the morning. And so the morning just felt so much harder than it was in reality. It was really no different than any other morning on the waking side. But that's not what I was holding in my body. And so it came out. So I say all this to say, our real lives are going to be happening in real time. And you're not going to get it perfect 100% of the time, or maybe even 80% of the time. But it's about being present and aware. Oh, I could have done that better. You know what? I wasn't the version of myself that I wanted to be. And then have the willingness to repair where you can. And sometimes you won't be able to fully repair. And sometimes the acknowledgement is the only model that is necessary, especially with our children. When we model how to show up and repair and humble ourselves and say, you know, that wasn't the best way for mommy to behave, and I'm sorry. I apologize. You do not deserve for me to talk to you in that way, and that was not respectful. That then helps to heal the fractures in the attachment and helps to restore the journey towards secure attachment in our children and in ourselves. So at the end of the day, understanding your attachment style and working on developing a secure attachment with your child can have a positive impact on their future relationships, their emotional well-being, their sense of self. And I have yet to meet a mother who is well in her heart and mind that does not want her child to love themselves, to be grounded in their emotions, to step through life towards healthy relationships and attachments. And so I highly suggest you explore for yourself. Do some journaling. And one of my favorite practices in journaling is to write a letter to my younger self. And start it by saying, my name, Takesha. So you would start it with your name. This is what I want you to know. And then you fill in the rest with whatever lessons, whatever stories, whatever experiences you would want your younger self to know. The things that you've learned along the way. The things you may have wanted to heal, to choose differently, or even reflect how maybe the not so positive choices led to some of the most incredible outcomes. So as always, it is my great pleasure to sit and chat and just share what's on my heart, what's on my mind, in the hopes that these tips and tools will support you in your journey to yourself, through yourself, as we all seek to stay with ourselves better and with more presence, more and more each day. Until next time, take good care.